Hello, my name is Mark. Welcome to the Fitness for Humans podcast. This episode, I kind of want to discuss protein. There's a lot of questions surrounding protein as far as you know, how much protein they should take, but what types of protein are acceptable and what are good sources of protein. So we're going to dive into all that here. Basically, protein is vital for muscle and bone growth, okay? Sometimes used for energy. If you go back to episode one of the second season that we started this year, we kind of discussed how protein can be used for energy. It is not ideal for that to happen when it comes to fat loss, but it is an energy source nonetheless when we're in more vigorous modes of training. Protein is made up of amino acids. And 20 amino acids total, 11 of them are considered non-essential, meaning that our body will make them on their own through other things that we consume, and creating normal bodily function for our body to have these essential or these non-essential aminos. 9 of them are considered essential, okay, which means they must be consumed by your diet. Remember that term essential. That is something that applies to anything that must be consumed in order to provide for your body, okay? That applies to vitamins and minerals as well, not just amino acids. So you'll hear that term essential when you're referring to anything that needs to be consumed in your body, okay? Now, most common things that you will find protein in, mostly meat options are considered the most complete ones. Beef, poultry, fish, eggs, dairy. I think a lot of us already know that when it comes to protein, but some vegetarian options that are considered complete would be soy, quinoa, and buckwheat. It's a very short list. So if you're somebody who is vegan or vegetarian, these are options that contain the complete protein, but obviously in much smaller amounts. So if you're somebody with a higher protein goal, you're going to have to either consume meat or do a lot of supplementation if you're a vegan or vegetarian and you are looking to hit a certain protein number. Now, incomplete protein found in nuts, seeds, beans, and grains, there's protein in these things, but not significant numbers. Nuts, pretty decent amount of protein for what they are, but they are not considered really a protein source as the protein number would be a little bit lower, but also not being complete protein. So animal protein is more dense in essential aminos. So obviously if you're somebody who is looking to build muscle, then essential amino acid found in animal protein is going to be something that's going to, you're going to find in higher density, which is going to help you achieve your goal more soundly with less supplementation. Now, best sources for protein. Now, this is based on 4-ounce portions of meat. This is a standard that, is recommended to consume per meal. Salmon, 4 ounces of salmon, 23 grams of protein in a 4-ounce piece of salmon. 31 grams in a 4-ounce piece of chicken, whole chicken. All right, we're not looking at any kind of grind here. We're looking at whole chicken breast. Same thing with any kind of turkey cut, 32 grams per 4-ounce portion. Whole cuts of beef, 29 grams per 4-ounce portion. This is, remember, whole cuts, guys, is very important. If you eat a lot of ground beef is cut with a lot of fat. You can get leaner grinds, but they're all still have a little bit of fat in them, mostly for flavor, but also for keeping it from being too dry. So whole cuts of pork as well, 31 grams of pork per, or grams of protein per 4-ounce portion. And bison, actually coming in a little bit lower than I would expect. A 4-ounce cut of bison would contain 17 grams of protein. I would think that to be a little bit higher, seeing as how bison is a little bit more naturally lean than beef. But nonetheless, 17 grams is what we got. Now, Greek yogurt, only 11 grams per 4-ounce portion, but Greek yogurt is a fantastic source of protein if you are looking for any type of mid-meal snack or if you're looking for something lighter for breakfast. Now, one of the recommendations if you're looking to hit a certain protein goal is to make sure that anytime you focus on breakfast, you are either doing one of two things. You are fasting, completely skipping breakfast altogether, or you are consuming high protein, steak, eggs, Greek yogurt, things like that. No cereals, try to avoid a lot of that, no bagels. Obviously if you want to hit a protein goal, it's going to be easier if you don't skip breakfast, but you are better off skipping breakfast than you are to go with a high sugary, fatty type of breakfast. So when supplementing protein, a lot of us use a lot of protein powders to make shakes and things like that, pre-meal, post-meal, end of the day, beginning of the day, to kind of make sure that we're off to a good start or finishing the day with the proper protein macro. And try to stick to whey protein or casein protein because they are more complete than vegan. Vegan proteins, unfortunately, a lot of them out there are not containing the complete amino acids, the essentials. So your best bet would be to go with a whey or casein. Now, if you're somebody who is a vegan or vegetarian and you insist on having a vegan protein, then my suggestion would be to make sure that you study the protein you're consuming very thoroughly and make sure that you're using a complete protein when you are using a vegan source. Now, some questions, people have questions as far as casein versus whey, which ones are better and why. Whey protein will digest faster, making it more ideal post-workout, pre-workout. You know, it gets in your system a little bit faster, but casein would digest slower, making it better when entering like fasting periods. For example, if just before you're about to go to sleep, you need something to hold you over, or you're, you know, entering, even if you're fasting during the day, you want, you know, your last, you know, protein shake to be, you know, something that's a little higher protein. You know, casein would be a better way to go, just because casein protein is, both are derived from dairy, but casein kind of acts as like a cheese curd, where you ingest it in your body and then it'll kind of curdle in your stomach, making it a longer digest and therefore excreting it into your system more slowly. So kind of know the difference between those two and decide what's good as far as, you know, what you're going to do. You know, timing is very important when you approach a lot of things when it comes to both your diet and the way you exercise. So we're going to touch on that a little bit more here. But a couple things I want to make sure that I note, because there have been some disagreement on this. Peanut butter is not a protein source, guys. I know that we like to use peanut butter as such, and we like to justify consuming peanut butter because of the protein content. But the bottom line is it has more than double the amount of fat than it does the protein, okay? So make sure that you're aware of that when you are consuming peanut butter. Nothing against peanut butter. You know, I myself enjoy peanut butter from time to time, but, you know, it is not something that is supposed to be considered a primary protein source. It is basically just, you know, for, you know, occasional cheat meals and things like that. So don't count that as your protein because it is fat. And really, all nuts in general. You know, we've talked about walnuts and pistachios being good nuts to have because they have the good types of fats, but that's because they are a fat source. They are not a protein source. So, you know, if anybody says they're eating protein or eating nuts for protein, yeah, sorry, you're eating nuts for fat. You just don't know it. Same thing with grains. Grains are not a protein source. A lot of people, you know, especially in, you know, in vegan and vegetarian community say, well, you know, there's certain grains that contain protein, and so, you know, I can use it as a protein source. Unfortunately, it's a fiber source. I mean, don't get me wrong, fiber is still important, but you want to make sure that you recognize that as, you know, something that's not going to be essential for your protein. Now, one thing that makes it a lot easier to understand as far as, you know, what's a protein source and what's not a protein source is knowing how much protein you need to consume in a day, okay? And it really all comes down to your goals. So know your protein goals, and that will be something that kind of helps you understand what is a proper amount of protein that you're going to be looking for and something that you are consuming, okay? So I want to dive into something we haven't done since the first season, some FAQs, frequently asked questions that I kind of come across in some social media forums and things like that, and I want to touch base on some of those things. So first thing that I remember coming across this week was, does cardio hurt muscle gain? That's a commonly asked question, actually, and something I kind of wanted to address. And the bottom line is yes and no, okay? This really depends on when you do your cardio, okay? Cardio before lifting is good. However, after lifting, it can flush inflammation that actually helps muscle growth. So you want to make sure that, you know, if you are implementing any type of cardio, you're either doing it on separate days from your lifting, or you're doing it before your lifting, or an extended period after your lifting. You don't want to do it right after, as far as, you know, as far as incorporating into your workout, because it will be something that kind of hurts, flushing out lactic acid and things like that causing inflammation, which is actually beneficial for your muscle growth, believe it or not. I know the word inflammation is a bad word, and you know, those things we try to avoid, but there is some benefit to having some post-workout inflammation. Cardio is important for overall health after all, so be sure to incorporate at least 3 times weekly. Just make sure that you're timing it correctly, okay? So, what is an ideal strength goal, okay? Now, this is something that gets asked quite a bit, and unfortunately, there are many factors that apply to this. This is gonna be very personal for everybody as far as what an ideal strength goal, as far as your size and your different abilities and things like that. But my direct answer to this question would be, we should be exercising for health and energy, okay? Strength will come with consistency, just like all else. But, you know, strength really comes from diet and intensity. Those really contribute the most to our strength. And too much high-intensity exercise actually can lead to cardio vascular issues long term, which is something that we have touched on in the past. So my opinion would be just to change your outlook on the strength. Strength will come naturally in time. If you're in a hurry for more strength, that could there are ways to approach that. And I can understand why people do have strength goals. I mean, just to give you a little perspective here, 225 is a lot of times a very common strength goal for people when they're bench pressing, and only 0.075% of all people on planet Earth can bench press 225 pounds. Okay, that's less than 1 out of every 1,000 people. So looking at it with that number in mind, I can understand why people have that goal, because it's badass level 10 if once you reach being able to do that kind of strength. But the bottom line is there are some negative things that can come long term with doing too much high intensity to achieve that type of strength. So be aware of that. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm all for muscle building. I think there's a lot of benefit that comes to having better muscle density, as well as some muscle mass as well. There's gonna be a lot more health benefits as far as maintaining healthy weights when you have more muscle involved. So I'm not trying to deter anybody from doing things that improve muscle growth and strength, but I do want you to be conscientious of some long-term effects when you do too much high intensity. Now, one other commonly asked question is, should I have salt water before exercising? Okay. Now, there have been some studies that show benefit from salt pre-workout. Signals nerve cells while improving hydration and endurance during your workout. So there are some benefits, but unless you're doing vigorous cardio and sweating profusely, it's not really a necessary thing to incorporate. Like I said, you'll see some benefits. They call it the pump. You have an insane pump when you're lifting when you do that. But I've never been one to be a big fan of any type of pre-workout period, just because a lot of the pre-workouts that you take are very highly caffeinated. So I mean, I guess if you're going to take something, salt water would be a way to go as far as a healthier alternative. But I don't see that as something that's necessary unless you're somebody that's having some problems with your hydration. So let's recap the episode, guys. Focus on complete protein sources when consuming protein if you are looking for the best way to hit your protein goals and to achieve all the essential aminos. Complete proteins are the way to go. Know your protein goals. Okay, that's a big one, guys. I mean, a lot of times people are just blindly consuming protein and they don't know what exactly they should be taking in the first place. So if you're somebody that has higher protein goals for muscle growth and better satiety, then know exactly what your protein ratio is on what you're eating. And then be sure to incorporate cardio with proper timing. I think that's something that's going to be very beneficial long term for overall health, but also as far as maintaining metabolism and stuff too. So hopefully this has been beneficial for you all. Until next week, so long.